Psalm 107, go there with me tonight. We're going to just look at a brief passage of Scripture before we get into our testimony time. And Psalm 107 is a great passage of Scripture that I think will help challenge our thankfulness. Psalm 107. And if you need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. I want you to have a copy of God's Word so that you can follow along with us. And this is the most important book on the planet, the Bible. God's Word to us. And we want to see what His mind is tonight when we consider the subject of thankfulness. So, Psalm 107, look with me at the first verse. It says here, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And that's really the subject of the entire psalm. The psalm has some 43 verses in it. In fact, go ahead and look with me at the final verse, Psalm 43, and you'll notice some advice that the psalmist gives here. He says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Have you ever met a person that just seemed to be unusually thankful person? Someone that maybe when you held a door for them, or you did something that was just more ordinary to us, but it seemed like it struck a chord with them. I don't know why it is, but it seems like to me some of the most thankful people I have met are actually from other countries. And I don't know why that's the case, but it seems like whenever we go on the mission field and we talk with people from other areas. Now, I will say, I was doing a little bit of reading on this subject this afternoon, and there's actually something behind this. And we could look into, well, you know, do we not realize what we have here in America? We've just kind of gotten used to the prosperity. Yeah, there's probably a level of where we're a little bit callous in regards to what we have, but that wasn't necessarily what the article was pointing out. The article said that if you're from America or you've been here your whole life, you generally take on an independent mindset. That's something that is encouraged and uplifted. You know, maybe somebody says, you know, I worked my hardest. You know, I got where I'm at today because of my work ethic. And, you know, that's someone who's really looking internally. People from other countries more so take on a collective viewpoint when it comes to living life. They are in cultures where you're heavily dependent upon the group. And so sometimes that can foster a more thankful heart, a heart that has more of a greater capacity for gratitude. And I think there may be something to that. Certainly, like I said, there are people I have met that seem to have just an upper level of gratitude. But you know, that's something that I would like to be said of me. And certainly, as we're thinking about this time of year, the idea of Thanksgiving, maybe we would ask the question, okay, well, you know, there's some role models in regards to thankfulness, but how can I up my game when it comes to being thankful? What are some things that I can do to expand my heart for gratitude? And I really think Psalm 107 points to some very brief things that we're going to look at here in just a second. But you can almost tell that the psalmist is just a little bit frustrated with the people around him and their level of thankfulness. Can I show you a couple of examples of this? Look at verse 8. Look at what the psalmist says here. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Look at verse 15. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Look at verse 21. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And then if you notice verse 31, the exact same thing. And that, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He goes throughout that, and then he gets to verse 43, and he says, "Whoso is wise, who will observe these things," the things he's just talked about, "even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." So in other words, there is a way to grow your gratitude. Okay, there is a way that all of us, no matter who we are, we can grow our thankfulness. And that's what I want to challenge you with here for just about 5 minutes before we get into our testimony time. But would you notice with me the first point that comes straight out of verse number one? If we're going to grow our gratitude, we must first understand, number one, the object of our thanks. The object of our thanks. Look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks. Okay, yeah, we know. It's Thanksgiving, right? We want to give thanks, certainly. But notice what he says. Give thanks unto the Lord. You may watch an athletic competition from time to time. World Cup is coming up. How many of you are looking forward to watching some matches of the World Cup? I encourage you to do that. This coming Monday at 2 o'clock. USA is playing. You'll be in school. I won't, and I'll be watching it. But nonetheless, you'll have to watch the replay. But I'm looking forward to that. Now, if an athlete does well, we may hear in an interview after the game him say something to the effect of, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity I have to be here. Okay, well, that says something about his thankfulness, but that doesn't really describe the object of his thankfulness. Because thanks always has an object, just like faith always has an object, right? We always say that, hey, you're placing your faith in something. It's not empty. It's attached to something. Well, thankfulness is attached to something as well. And the psalmist here is saying that thankfulness, our drive for gratitude, so to speak, should be attached to a person, and that person is the Lord. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for he is good. We see the object of our thanks. Thankfulness always has an object, like faith. To whom are we thankful? You know, we could take some time tonight and we could say, well, I'm thankful for this and I'm thankful for that. But ultimately, all of our thankfulness should be an inroad back to God. You know, I may have these things. I may have this opportunity. But where did that opportunity come from? Where did those things come from? Hey, I'm thankful for my family, and I am certainly thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my extended family. But where did that family come from? How did I come to have relations with the family that I have? Well, there's always an object to my thankfulness, and that thankfulness traces back to God. Okay, can I encourage you, in order to grow our gratitude, we've got to see the connection between what we have and who gave it to us. Okay, don't separate thanksgiving for just being thankful for things. No, trace it back to the one who gave all, who gave us that which we have. And certainly that is the object of our thanks. I thought this was interesting. In Guatemala, it is actually a custom when people talk to each other to often include the phrase, thanks be to God. I thought that was very interesting. I read that this afternoon, and it's just part of their dialogue. When they're speaking, they may greet you, and somewhere in the course of the conversation, they may say, thanks be to God. You know, what are they doing there? And I'm not saying we need to have rote and memorize things that we do, but they're tracing the ordinary things in life back to the one who allowed those things to transpire. So let's recognize that our thanks ought to have an object. And that's what the psalmist says here. In order to grow our thanks, trace it back to God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. But would you notice the second thing here? We see not only if I want to grow my gratitude or my thanks, do I need to see the object of my thanks. But number two, I need to see the character of God. What do you mean? Look back at verse 1, because the second part of verse 1 is very clear, because it tells us why we ought to be thankful. For he is, what does it say? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good. He's good. So the psalmist says, hey, listen, let's take a second. You want to be thankful. You want to grow your thankfulness or grow your gratitude. Recognize the object. But number two, understand who he is, his character. Okay, he is good. Okay, now there may be times where we say, wow, there are times that it just doesn't seem like God is good. I look into my situation and this is going on. Understand that God is not the one with the problem. We are the one who are misinterpreting his goodness, because he's always good. Okay, that he's never made a mistake. He's never done anything wrong. And his character is the fact that he is good. When's the last time you stopped and thought about the character of God? And you considered who He is, well, His attributes, the fact that, you know, it's not just that God gave me these things, but that He is a righteous God, and He's perfect in His love towards me. Boy, and He's honest in His dealings. And wow, we begin to grow our thankfulness when we recognize His character, the character of our God, for He is good. Notice the verse continues here. It says, He's good, for His mercy endureth forever. It's another layer of His goodness, His mercy. Mercy in the New Testament has more to do with someone not getting what they deserve. And that's kind of the way we understand mercy today. You know, you're growing up as a kid, and you know you should probably be disciplined or get a spanking or something for something you've done wrong, and your parents look at you and you say those words that you just oh so hope to hear coming out of their mouth. They say, you know what, I'm going to give you mercy. How many of you have parents who have ever extended mercy to you? Okay, don't we like those words? Okay, you, in other words, you deserve something, but they're not giving it to you, and you're just like, that's wonderful. Okay, great. I love mercy. Okay, that's like the New Testament idea and modern idea of mercy today. Mercy in the Old Testament is actually different. It has more to do with His loving kindness and faithfulness to us. You remember Lamentations, it says it is of His mercies that we are not consumed. Another way to say that, His graciousness to us, the way that He is good to us. So when it says His mercy endureth forever, it means that His goodness, His graciousness to me is ongoing in my life. Now maybe I don't see clearly and I miss His goodness in my life. Or I'm focused on the wrong thing and I miss the fact that He is gracious to me and has been gracious to me. Okay, but the idea that helps us grow our gratitude is to lock in on not only who is giving us, but also the character He has in that giving. Notice not only the object of our thanks, the character of God, and that He is good and He has extended mercy to us, but number three, notice His actions in relation to us. Okay, so the object of our thanks, His character, and His actions. And what are His actions to usward? Well, would you notice verse 2? The psalmist continues, let the redeemed, that's us, of the Lord say so. Why? Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Okay, so now the psalmist is saying, hey, don't just look at the character of God. Now look at what He has done for us. Okay, now the writer here is going big picture. Okay, he's not just saying, hey, the little things that maybe God displays His love to us on a daily basis. He zooms out. He goes big picture. He says, hey, remember that He is the one who paid our debt. Hey, He is the one that redeemed us. Okay, the word redeemed there means to buy back. Okay, the Lord in our imperfect nature and standing before Him and open and vulnerable, He saw us as sinners and He took that sin upon Him, went to the cross so we didn't have to. And we know Him as Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Okay. Now, certainly, if you've accepted Christ and you're a part of our group here tonight, you can certainly be thankful for the One who gave everything so that you could have everything, spiritually speaking. So we see the object of thanks. We see the character of our God. This only grows our gratitude. We see His actions in relation to us and that He redeemed us. But not only did He redeem us, in terms of action, but look at verse 3, and He gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. He's talking about everyone. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress and led them forth by the right way that they might go to the city of habitation. And this is the eternal destination. Okay, we were redeemed so that we could live with Him forevermore. He gave us a home. Okay, it's not just that He saved us, but He said, hey, listen, I want to dwell with you, and I want you to dwell with me, and I want to put you in a place that you were really made for. Okay, we think that, hey, you know, we have a home and I was made for this. Okay, we go on vacation, we say, hey, I was made for this vacation, right? But in big picture terms, man, understand that you were not made for this life. This life is about that short in the span of eternity. A whole lot shorter, actually, because eternity never stops. Boy, we were made to live a life eternally, and that life with Him. Boy, has anybody outgiven God in relation to His actions? No, of course not. Boy, when we get a hold of the fact that everything we have is from the Lord, we say, wow, that's the object. God, the Lord, is the object of our thanks. Everything is tied to Him. We look at His character, we see His love, and then we see His actions, the way He has done these things on our behalf, and we say, wow. We grow our gratitude. And then finally in verse 2, and this is where we'll stop. You'll notice the beginning part of the verse here. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Number 4, we ought to be willing to talk about it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thankful people speak words of thankfulness. Well, that's deep, isn't it? Brother Scott. Man, I'm going to uncharted territory tonight. Thankful people speak words of thankfulness. And there's one way that we can grow our gratitude, is that it's to be people who verbalize our thanks. Boy, as we do that in everyday speech, as we incorporate that into our day, it allows us to see God clearly, to recognize who He is, what He's done for us, and to be most thankful. So as we look at this tonight, and we, as the psalmist says in the final verse, we observe these things. I hope that you have seen a blueprint for establishing some thankfulness this Thanksgiving season.